Yes, all right. And Michael, if you want to share more, go ahead.
Oh, so your brain cannot come up, you know, the conscious can no longer come up and say something to block the concept of why it cannot step forward and do these what you have to.
Yes. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Don in Brexville. Hi, how are you? Hi, everybody.
Hello, Don. Welcome to the call.
Thanks.
So the subconscious begins to empty out. It runs out of excuses. And you begin to have to work on success in the now.
All right.
When you look at what the books, they tell you how, but we already know how, so we reject it. But when you look at the subconscious area, the real world that we call it, and it's coming up to a question, the brain cannot come up and give an excuse. Because it doesn't give excuses on questions.
Mm-hmm.
So success is reassured, especially if you don't have work or you don't have the love in your life that you desire. And in the 7-word mantra that I would say, I would call it, I ask myself, why do I desire abundance? And lifestyle.
All right.
Hello, everybody.
So,
Good evening.
How are you?
Who is that talking?
Hello. Michael.
Hey, Michael. I thought that was you.
Yeah.
You didn't sound like Dwayne anyway. Hi, Dwayne. Are you there? Dwayne, are you there?
I haven't heard him.
Is Terry here?
Not yet.
Welcome,
hey,
everybody.
I want you to know... Go ahead.
What's that?
I want you to know that I need to shut down my free conference console in about 10 minutes. So.
Okay, I'm on the console, so we're okay. Okay? Hi, people loved your interview. Okay,
I figured that I'm so glad to hear that. It was just, you know,
yeah, I'm so glad.
It's simple for me. It's just a matter of answering questions, and I think Joel did a great job.
He did.
I'm
you know
glad
that?
To get... Here is Joel. Hello,
is
Joel.
Is Joel?
I heard you.
Did you hear us talking about you, Joel?
No, I was just having trouble. I a couple times I had to dial in there. Sat there and it wouldn't answer.
Mm-hmm. You know, for those of you who are listening and happen to be tuning in for the first time, which is probably nobody, because I'm only sending messages out to our subscribed list, Joel interviewed Hive a week before this Monday. And now, Joel and Hive, if they continue to get along, which I think they will. I have to build that in. If they continue to get along, they're going to be interviewing other people. They're going to be interviewing people like Jim McCarty, Carla's husband. Who knows who might come up? And maybe some of you on the line, you know, if some of you have had really profound transformations, that you could talk about for an hour. It's got to be interesting now. Or we can do an interview thing with a group of people that have had things happen and just have a round table and have Joel and Hives kind of facilitate it. Or, you know, some of you if some of you do some kind of spiritual work that you want to talk about, just so long as you've been influenced by work, by our work, and that you're not just doing it to promote yourself. Of course, you can include it. As long as you've been influenced, and it's helped you do whatever you do better, okay? And just email me. I'll forward it to Joel and Hive, and we'll probably do at least one of those a month, and maybe more. I mean, I'd be happy to do four a month, and then I can retire. But but in the meantime, it's nice to have a change of pace. And Terry, are you on?
I'm here. Yes.
You are, and you're here, and you're unmuted, right?
Yes.
While the lines are open, I love you to Terry if you love her. Thank you, Terry.
Oh, guys, thank you.
Love you, Terry.
Love you, Terry.
Thank you.
You guys are so schmaltzy.
Love you, Wynn.
Just say, I put up with you, Wynn. It's okay. we put up with you.
We tolerate your presence on this line, Wynn. Thank you.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's up? Hey, Wynn, I got some amazing stuff to tell you at some point, so things are happening, man.
Well, good. Things looking up?
Yes. I'm moving in with this artist that I've met and who kind of gets me, I guess, best way to say, or can handle me or whatever people say.
Is it a woman or a guy?
Yes, it's a woman.
So like it's a relationship, huh?
Well, I don't know, you know, I'm going to move in, and rent a room from her and, the cool hip part of Memphis, Cooper Young in Midtown, and she's a kind of a known artist, and I'm going to help her around the house with paints and stuff, and, just help her with stuff, and, that's going to be my board, room board and stuff, and I'll be freed up to do other stuff, and,
It sounds wonderful. She sounds really good for you, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, because you see, you have an artistic disposition.
Yes.
And,
I'm very, very creative. I just haven't focused, anything lately. And lately I have started writing stuff down. I've got a lot of ideas. And, it's just the creativity is starting to flow. So I think being over there really, really helped that.
Well, that sounds awesome. That sounds awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah. It's what I've been asking for, Sometimes if you ask for it and you put your energy into, meeting some halfway, then sometimes these things will manifest,
Well, you just need to get your positive signal stronger than your negative signal.
Yes, that's exactly what's happening.
Because, we're all transmitters all the time. I mean, we've said that before, but we're all transmitting into the universe. And, for transmitting negative stuff, you pull in negative stuff. But even when you know you're doing it, it doesn't mean you can stop doing it. It's very tricky to change your signal.
Things will come at you from ways that you will be very surprised, and I've learned to look at those.
We have a question.
Learn to recognize those.
We have a question from somebody tonight that's dealing with that. This is apropos. Melinda, are you on the line? Are you on the line, Melinda? Melinda, who sent the question, and I sent an email back, and I said, are you going to be on the line? Let me see here. Oh, okay. Not here. everybody. Hang on. Here we go. I'm going to mute everybody, okay? Well, muted. We're recording.
This conference is being recorded.
It's 6:09, September 25th, 2013. Welcoming you all to our Wednesday call, where we answer questions that you submitted, mostly Terry, but sometimes me. And we will just get, I think we'll get right into it. Just wanted to reiterate before we start is we're doing another session 7 of Carla Wynn, Law of One Made Simple series Saturday. And there was a thing in today's email announcing this call for it. And as you know, it's a 3-hour session, 10 to 1, and it's a sliding donation. There's suggested donations, but no one's excluded for money. So if you donate as little as $5, you get everything. So just saying that. Anything else we should... anyone, do you know about that comet that some people are worried about, Terry?
What comet?
Hello?
I don't know what you're talking about.
We're going to have to ask about it. I don't know. I got a couple emails from... I can't remember what it was called, but I got a couple emails from people saying, can you put this comet in the light? And
who made the comet?
I gotta go look it up. I think
Carol made a comment, or somebody on our list.
Carol in Alaska had sent me that, okay?
And, she made a comment.
She said you should put the I think it was Carol. She said you should put this in the light. Hi Carol, if you're listening. And there was some kind of ominous thing about it, okay? So,
something we said, or something she said?
No, it's from our own outside investigation.
Comet up in space, not a comment. Comet.
Not a comment,
oh,
thank
comet.
You. Comet, yeah. Comet. Eon or something. And that's all.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
What's that?
Joe,
you're not very clear right now. Can you get more clear some way?
Okay. I'm gonna unplug my charger, but unplugging my charger is going to.
I don't think it's your charger. I don't think because I don't hear a buzz on the line.
Yeah, well, I think it is, Wynn. I think it is.
You think it is?
I think it's a
well,
charger.
Try and plug it.
I did. I unplugged it now, but if I run out of juice halfway through, I'll have to plug it in again.
All right. You are better now, okay?
Yeah.
So, well, you know what? I wish we could just compress time a little bit. We will know when we're succeeding because I can say, okay, Terry, plug your charger in, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and boom, you unplug it, and your phone's charged, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Never mind. Okay. All right. And I just have to make a disclaimer, which I usually forget to do. The disclaimer is that anything that comes through channeled material is not to be taken as absolute truth. That channeling can have distortions in it because there can be bleed through from the mind of Terry. There can be negative sources coming through, which I don't think happens too much, but it's certainly a possibility. There can be, some of you may have heard this in the past, and this is something that I've learned. It took me a few years, more than a few years, to figure this out. But when you take the idea that you're a little body here on planet Earth, and that there's a huge universe out there, and that everything in this universe might have something to say to you if it had the chance. So when a voice comes through somebody, and you're involved in this thing called channeling, that voice could be a discarnate entity, someone that died. It could be a negative source that's impersonating an ascended master. It could be an ET. It could be a planet. It could be the sun or the solar logos. It could be the earth talking. It could be Jesus. And it could be anything, because think how big the universe is and how many consciousnesses there are in the universe. And then the other question is, how do you know that the voice is coming true and they say there's something, that they are who they say? In other words, if a voice comes through and says it's the Elohim, how do you know it's the Elohim? How do you know it's this? How do you know it's the other thing? You don't. You don't know. So there's the possibility that there is sources coming through that are not who they say they are, but say they are who they're not, to trick you or to trick us. And so I established for myself, knowing that to be true, to just say, okay, ask them questions. And it took me a few years of asking questions and a lot of synchronicities and a lot of other things for me to come to the conclusion that I think they might be who they say they are. And that we, all of us, are in the position to constantly ask ourselves that. And one thing here is that if they say something that's wise, and if you apply it to your life that it works, it doesn't matter who they are, because you're getting wisdom that works. And if you ask something, and then you have a synchronicity or a miracle that happens that changes something that's been a huge problem, whether health or whatever, you don't have to know who they are. You can say, whatever I'm doing is working. Because the bottom line is, it's got to work. It's got to work for you. It's got to do something to contribute to your life. It's not about, genuflecting to the Elohim. And they never is there. You guys know what genuflecting is? Gary, what is genuflecting? Did I use the right word? Hello, Terry.
Genuflecting, in my understanding, would be like making the sign of the cross or bowing to God or
getting
Jesus.
Getting on your knees and praying, right?
Yeah.
Now, I think that's what I understood too. And I think there's nothing wrong with genuflecting. And if getting on your knees and praying helps you connect to the energies, and if focusing on God the Father helps you do that, then I think that's great, because it'll work. Jesus is making something that works, because how do you make the connection between here and there? The fact of the matter is even though the universe is one energy, there are energies that are bigger than other energies. There are energies that are wiser than other energies. And it's the universe evolves by the way energies collaborate. That is a really, I never said that before, but wow. The universe evolves by the way energies collaborate. And what do we do on these calls? We are energies collaborating. When we bring the Elohim in, we are energies collaborating, and it's the collaboration that creates co-creation that keeps the energy moving. It keeps it into a flow. It keeps it into a creation. We're creating a space. We're not believing anything. It's the only reason we can do these calls three times a week, I didn't know this would happen when we started it, but I can see how it works. We get into a flow together, and when we do that, we are collaborating. Truly, even though most of you are not talking, and that I'm talking or Terry's talking, it's a collaboration of energies because we create a space for your energies to come in, and then their energies come in, and it becomes a huge collaboration. And in that collaboration, energies flow back and forth, and we're learning how to be friends with different energies of the universe. And so one of the things about the Elohim and Ra group, which is different from, say, a discarnate entity or an ET that might talk to us, is that when, as I've come to understand it, and I can't prove this, so it's something, you know, see if it resonates for you. They identify themselves as a group matrix, and they identify themselves at the top of the timelines as the masters of time and space. And they say they can flow through the universe and arrive somewhere and as energy, and that they were responsible for creating life as focusing mechanisms for energy, focusing mechanisms. And so we are talking to a group matrix, and some of you have noticed when I start talking about them how the energy shifts. And that suddenly it's not just an intelligence that's putting words together. There starts to be a shift in your space and in my space. And when that shift occurs, it feels like it's very expansive. And it feels very connected. And that if we're talking to them and they're flowing from there into here, that might be what that flow feels like when it hits your space. And so the thing about a group matrix, and some of you don't understand this by the questions you ask, is that when we ask a question, we move into the matrix of whatever we're asking the question about. Whenever we ask a question, we move into the matrix. And so, for example, if I am asking a question, I've seen this happen with Terry. If I'm asking a question about somebody that's got a haunted plot of land in Indiana, Terry suddenly tells me, there I was looking at the land. I could see it, okay? Some of you remember that classic channeling about crop circles where I asked a question about GRAYS, the ETs that are not necessarily positively disposed, and suddenly the energy on the line shifted. Suddenly, it was amazing. It shifted. That space of connection got separated. They got a feeling of anxiety. And then suddenly they said, the Grays are watching us. See, I'm afraid to even say that. Cancel. Because dealing with a matrix energy, whatever you say, you bring in, you attract. And probably to a lesser extent, it's true on each of us individually. As we talk about things, we are constantly recreating our universe because we're pulling in the energies of what we're talking about. That's why when people send in questions and they want to know about some of the negative things that are going on the planet, I usually have to pass on it because I don't want to bring the energies in that it would take to look at that. Now, sometimes I don't know, and sometimes I'll pass even if I'm in doubt, and sometimes I will answer a question, because I'm closer into this realm And it doesn't necessarily, I can talk just in my mind and bring information through without invoking the greater matrix. But when Terry answers a question, invariably, it's going to do that. It's going to bring in the matrix of what we're asking about. And if there's something negative in that matrix, it will show up and it starts to damage the energy of the call. One of the times this was really highlighted to me, one of the first times, is I remember Terry and I were in a little apartment in Pasadena, and I was reading a Seth book, and I suddenly mentioned to Terry something about reading this book. She looks at me and she says, "Seth is here. Do you want to talk to him?" And so then we had a conversation with a voice through Terry that said it was Seth. So, you know, if it was really experimental, I'd be sitting around saying, well, let's talk to this and let's talk to that and let's talk to this and let's talk to that. And just out of curiosity, it'd be kind of entertaining and see what different points of view of the universe looks like. But I have a certain resistance about playing it like that, because I think we're really talking to the Elohim. And I think they are here on these calls, and I don't want to mess it up by having all these other entities having access to me. So when you ask these questions that might, which we get every week, questions that are wanting to know stuff, I have to evaluate really carefully whether I would like to ask that question or not, or I will ask it myself and let it be, okay? Because that's it. That's enough for that topic. So let me call in the light, and we will go through our questions this evening. Let me see. Before I do that, let me just see if we got any last-minute questions. No last-minute questions. And David Agron, I've got your question in the queue for this evening, just letting you know. And I did get some questions that I'm not going to ask. I might ask the question and say I'm not going to ask it. You'll understand why I'm not asking, or I'll explain it. So you get the idea when you're putting questions together. And a lot of times, all this information about what we call the negative is fear-based. What if this happens? What if that happens? What if this happens? What if that happens? And then and you know what? Those things might happen. And one of the things to say is, okay, I'm ready to leave this realm. I've done my part. I've done everything. I've learned what I need to learn. And as soon as you can say that, nothing can scare you anymore, I hope. And anticipating, like, what if this comet strikes? What if this happens? Well, if we know something about those things, then we can put it in the light, and we have a chance of changing the direction of something or the dispensation of something, and it's good, okay? But if we hear about those things and it just makes us afraid, it's better off that we never even heard about it, okay? So, in any case, let's get started. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one. To join with us, we create a protected space that only the positive has access to, and anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is Ra On, and we are with you. This is the 25th of September 2013. And we take a look at your solar system, and we take a look at your planet. And then we connect with each and every person that wishes to be connected with love, light, and caring. And we are there for each and every person that wishes to be connected with. We are free will, so that we do not connect unless each and every one of you who we connect with wishes it. We also say that if anything that we say does not agree with your orientation or make total sense to you, disregard it as not being applicable to you at this time. We are here for you. Do you have questions?
Would you like to make any comments on my preamble about group matrices and how to ask questions so we don't bring negative energies into the matrix?
Yes. It is very true. When something, a negative question is asked, we go, and at the time, we do look at that area and bring through what it is to come through, except sometimes if we feel that the people on the line are not ready for the information or would not use it wisely, or if it is something which is private to someone, which that someone wouldn't want shared, then we go around that subject. We do not bring that subject through. There have been times such as the time you mentioned in your preamble where we made connection with the heart and the management of one of the alien races. And we send them love light as they are part of the family of life. And we tend to stay clear of negativity so that we do not bring detrimental things into the space.
In that situation we talked about, the fact that I asked the question was talking about it. Could you, at your option, have just avoided it and stopped that from happening? Or did you make some choice to allow that matrix to expand into that other field?
We saw that within the alien race, since they are part of the family of all that is, that there was a yearning for connection. There was a guilt about the things they were doing that were detrimental. And so it was good to bring them forward that they could at least get a look at how things appeared and were to another race beside themselves.
Thank you. I'd like to ask a question from, let's see here. From Matt Savino. And he sent three questions. I'll send one of his questions. And he was reading The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And there was an excerpt in one of David Wilcock's channelings with Ra, where Ra was saying something on the lines of, we extend a hand to you in the higher densities, or more accurately, an energetic extension from, not an amoeba, but an amoeba-like energy, and amoeba formed. And Matt asks, my question is, what does an individualized entity from the Ra group look like? And let me add my own, like that feel like when that amoeba, is that actually a good representation from the Wilcock channelings? And would that be a whole group of energies? And when a hand comes in from the higher densities, it's from the Ra group, does it end up looking like an orb? Thank you.
We, in the, that are part of the Ra group that are answering the question, are lightened up and are smiling at your question. We are an energy. Each of us is a radiant energy, and we do have individually the ability to manifest and to shape ourselves into certain forms, so that when we would extend an energy hand from our group to your group, it would be of a connection of a symbolic connection reaching out to your group in an energy form, that if you had the equipment to take a picture of it, you would see the energy begin to form into a rudimentary shape of a hand. We do have the ability to mold our energy transformation, or our energy creation together, to mold it into a rudimentary energy moving into your area in the rudimentary shape of a hand, is an energy form of manifestation.
Thank you. Now here's an unusual request. Since you're there, and you say you can do that, and we're here, and so many of people on this line would love to feel a connection with the Ra group, could we request that all of those people that would like to feel that connection, that you could extend that energy just in a moment so they could sense it?
To sense it, it takes your sensing. We can present it. We can present it now, and we pause as we do. There is our, the individuals listening over the BBS line, individuals listening over the telephone line, individuals listening to the replay, individuals reading a transcript. We extend our energy hand, and we do at various times in these channelings extend our energy light. It is just one holds out their energy hand to another. And we see some of you reaching your hand back.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I felt it. And thank you, Matt, for that question and inspiring that experience. And maybe occasionally on these calls, we will do that for those people that would like that experience. And thank you for demonstrating and sharing that. Thank you. Next question. And this is from Melinda. Let me see. I was asking her city, and she didn't send me her city. Let's see if it came in up there. Morgan says there's a lot of humming and bird chattering in the background. I'm not hearing it, okay? But I think we're clear. I think it's on your phone, Morgan. And somebody's saying, wanted to do a healing prayer. And the line is busy. So next time, okay? Maybe on Sunday. And, okay. So
if the line is busy, try it again. Keep trying, because sometimes mm-hmm. the line is busy, but we'll clear.
Okay. Well, let me ask Melinda's question, because I'm sure there's other people that would have this question. And it's a serious question. And I'm not sure we could give an answer that'll fit everybody. But the question is, how do I want to know how to get rid of myself. How do I rid myself of all this negative energy in my life? I believe the Creator is not causing this, yet I am unable to get rid of it. Please help me. And one comment I'll make is that when somebody is experiencing that, usually it's because they have a past track of being in the negative, being overcome by the negative, or being in the negative, that has embedded itself into your energy field, and that it takes a lot to get to unembed yourself and to release that. And sometimes it means, let's suppose you've done a lot of negative things in past lifetimes. And I'm not saying this is true for Melinda or anyone. I'm just saying in general, suppose that you've had past lifetimes where you have been service to self and where you have not cared about other people and you've inflicted a lot of stuff. And now all of that is in your track. You in particular, if that resonates with you, have to start a track of doing really positive, contributory things. You have to get into the energy of doing that, not just the idea of it. You can't do it to rid yourself of your past track. That would be not pure purpose. You have to get into the experience, an energetic flow of how it feels to give to people unconditional love with no expectation in return. And you have to do that enough so that you can start, this is my opinion, you can start outweighing the energy of this negativity that has, you could say it was your karma, because it's part of your creation. Now, this may not be the only reason for that experience. There may be other reasons. But in some cases, this is the reason. and that good, and most, if you identify with that, then doing good works over a disciplined period of time till you get into the feeling of how good it feels to truly help someone will help clear that pattern. And I'm going to turn it over to our sources. I want to know how to get rid myself of all this negative energy. And I believe the Creator is not causing this. I'm able to get rid of it. And I'm unable to get rid of it. But please help me. Thank you.
Thank you. There are several things to look at here. One of them is the negativity yours, or is it being picked up by the cells of your body, by your energy field, from the media, from the neighbors, from the consensus reality? Since late in the 1990s, there has been an effort to control people through making them scared, putting negative things out, having tragedies in the offing, possibilities of negative things, of attacks, and all of these are picked up by your own field, by your own body. One of the things is if you have a signal coming into you of negativity, then you are, in this particular instance, and there may be other things on top of this too, but in the particular instance, if you are not creating the negativity in the now, if you aren't doing that, then it may be something coming in and overriding yourself and causing negativity, which you aren't able to clear because it's not yours. If the negativity is yours, and if you are bringing it forth, then you can be silent with it and see if you can get it to change. Can you get it to dissipate? Can you make it stronger? Can you get any kind of control over it? It may be something that a belief system you have is creating. For instance, the desire of expressing something that you have not been able to express, and there's a buildup of energy, a backlash in your matrix and in your body because you haven't been able to get rid of the toxic energy, that in a case like that, perhaps learning to communicate, hitting a pillow, and observing yourself, seeing if this negativity is connected with something in your childhood, something you have been sort of forced into, like not being able to act like yourself or express yourself or express anger, not being able to release built up frustrations that can make a backlog of negative energy. And if you try to overcome that by just, I'm going to be good, I'm going to think good thoughts, then it's an overlay on top of a desire to express, to get something out that you needed at some point to get out and you couldn't get it out. And then you have two opposites. And two opposites, when they're facing each other, I'm going to be good, or it's just really I'm angry, and you get those two going up against each other, then it's a stalemate, and you can't dissolve it, you can't work it through. So I think we think, just a moment, that looking at exactly what is going on, what is this negative energy consisting of? How solid is it? How thick is it? How close in is it? Is it coming from outside? Is there a direction that it's coming from? Just observing yourself, and you will get little moments of insight. And these little moments of insight can build together, so you eventually get a platform that you stand on. Oh, that when you were little, you wanted to be able to express something and you couldn't. And you bottled it all up and tried to be good. So, well, taking a look at all of this and seeing what it is that applies and what can make the slightest change one direction or other can tell you a little bit more about where it's coming from and how you can eventually control it. And ultimately, when you get to the basis of it, it can be stronger as you get more toward the basis of it, and then as you get to the basis of it, it could release and dissipate and leave you with a non-chattering, silent mind that gives you peace. Thank you. That is our answer.
Thank you. We don't have a lot of time, and I have two questions to sneak in here, so let's get them in quickly. One of them, I'll make this the priority one, and the other is from David Avant, and if I can't fit yours in, David, I promise next week I'll do it, okay? Michael has a cat. It's been his friend, Michael Adler, in San Diego for 15 years. Sam, right. Sam has joined us on many of our calls. And Sam is at the vet right now, and he's got kidney issues, hyperthyroid issues, lost half a pound in the last month, and he thinks that he might be dying. And Michael loves his cat. He's been a good friend and buddy, and so... if there's any healing that can be done from the other side, Michael requests it. And if there's any comfort to be given to the cat, he requests it. And otherwise, can you make any comments on what would help Michael?
Thank you. We see that the cat, Sam, has certain needs. His body has certain things that it is going through, and it is a cycle that may take you to the other side eventually. We see his great love for you, and we see your great love and desire for his presence. His body right now is speaking to him, and he is lulled into a pleasant looking at you, separation from his body, from the pains of his body, and he is able to handle it. Sam is. We see that it is a natural process here. We will send love and light to Sam with the magnified hopes and thoughts that you have for Sam.
thank you. We have another 3 minutes, and I'll get David's question in. And David Grant in Mesa is, let me just get to his question. I'll get it exactly. Is hearing voices, okay? Well, I'll read his question. More and more, I'm getting thoughts that are coming together and making sense. I think that it is my higher source. But I am not sure because I've heard the female voice of Mother Earth, and I'm going to just say what he believes to be Mother Earth, and the masculine voice of what he believes to be the Sun. And I'm interested to find out who is this voice that's guiding me more and more. I do normally a prayer of letting in the light in the mornings before I leave the house daily. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes. Mother Earth and you are connected. You are connected to Mother Earth. When you are hearing the voices, you are beginning to distinguish where they are from, the Mother Earth, and that the male voice is different. And keep on observing the direction the voices are coming from. The Elohim, us, and the Ragu, us, are higher in frequency than those voices. Although you are becoming attuned to be able to hear also the higher frequencies. But just keep on listening and just keep on as you are seeing what each one, the direction it comes from and where it is connected. And any thoughts that go through your mind, do not give them credence though they are right or wrong, but use your own sense of integrity and own sense of yourself to evaluate any thoughts and disregard them. Even though they are in your mind, disregard them if they do not fit in with your own sense of integrity and belief.
Thank you. You know, oftentimes, you know, when it comes to getting voices, so many of us just are hungry for some kind of phenomena and confirmation that when you get a voice, you're so happy that you put your scrutiny away and understand that when you're hungry for that, when you want that to occur, when you think it makes you feel special, it is an opening, big opening, for the negative to start talking to you and take advantage of that hunger, so to speak, or that desire for confirmation and lead you in the wrong direction. So never let your guard go down, okay? And never allow any channeled voice to speak to you and put you on an ego trip or make you think you're special or you're a chosen one or anything like that. One of the best ways to evaluate a voice that's talking to you is if ask them for wisdom that you can apply to your life to make your life better. And if they deliver that, then that's a good sign. That's not 100% sign, but it's a good sign. It's a positive sign because they're giving you information that you can apply and use, and you prove it, and it works. And if they can't do that, that's not a good sign as to who you're talking to. Okay? say it's 6:59. We're going to leave for the evening. Thank you all. Thank you, Terry. We'll see some of you Saturday, some of you Sunday. And thank you all for being here and supporting the energy of this work.
Your conference recording has stopped.
And everyone's unmuted. We'll see you later.
See you later.
Thank you, Wynn.
Thank you.